Good morning, everyone, and welcome to FBC Radio Live. It's Thursday. Yes, it is Thursday. My days are all thrown off. Yesterday was it was a little out of whack for me watching hockey at 11 a.m. So it took a little while to adjust. I did not realize it was Wednesday for much of the day yesterday. So as I've checked multiple times, it is Thursday. It is August the 13th. We are nearly halfway through the month, and we are we're approaching 10 months straight of being on the air, my friend. I just realized that. August the 15th, it's going to be good. So since we have only an hour here, I'm not going to waste too much time. I'm going to bring in my co-host because I'm eager to talk to him. I got some questions for him, and I just want to see how he's doing. So, Mike, how are you doing today?
Hello. Unlimited. So, see, I told you I was going to work on that. I told you I was.
Mr. Unlimited.
That's right. I don't have Russell's terminology down yet, but I'm trying, folks. You know, I'm getting there. But
it takes practice. All
that, it does. It takes practice. It takes a little bit of you know, practicing in the mirror, like you said before, you have to get the inflections down. You have to get it. There's a lot involved with impressions. But
well, he said it like 12 times in that video, so he got a lot of practice in that video alone. So
oh yeah, he did. Plus, he originated it too. So whether the voice is good, bad, or indifferent, it's his, and it's always going to be his. So then you have to try to harness it and steal it, like most people in our profession do. But folks, great to be here on a Thursday morning. NHL playoffs really stealing the show when it comes to, I think, all professional sports right now. I think it's just we continue to go in. Big win for the Bruins yesterday. Continued action today, and the NHL continues to be the hottest ticket in town right now. I think all the major sports might just be chasing them. So you know, good stuff. Great times for hockey fans.
Yeah, we're going to talk to Kyle here. Second half of the show, we're going to talk some hockey, really get into it. Because, you know, there is, before we talk some NFL news, because there was some NFL news the last couple days, or yesterday, rather. I want to express I'm disappointed, Mike. I'm disappointed. You know? Tombstone did not win the poll yesterday on Full Press Radio. Yes, I know. DiGiorno's won 65% to 35%, but here's the thing, and I'm almost certain that this was the case. I think the votes were manipulated. I'm just saying. I think there was some sort of ballot business, you know, funny business going on. So I'm just going to put it out there. I do not accept the results of the poll. I'm just saying. So, Dylan, if you're listening, Ross, if you're listening, I do not accept those results. I said so yesterday. I texted in. I made sure that it was known that I do not accept these results. And you know what? It's ironic or coincidental that I heard a rumor that Dylan ate a bunch of DiGiorno's the other day. And what do you know? He was out sick yesterday. So I'm going to put two and two together and just jump to the conclusion that he likely ate DiGiorno's frozen pizza and became sick afterwards. So, folks, I'm just telling you, that's the proof is right there. So I was disappointed that it did not win, but guess what? I know I'm right, and I do think that there was some sort of voter and vote manipulation going on. And Mike, who did you vote for? Now, be honest. You said you voted for Tombstone, correct? I know. I'm asking.
Tombstone, yes.
I'm asking a Paisan here, so you know.
Hey, yep, you're asking a Paisan. Like I said, it was like asking me to choose between the pebbles in my shoe. But I did vote for Tombstone. I do believe they have the superior product, and yeah, I'm a little surprised that it was that far away. I'm really not surprised that DiGiorno won. I think DiGiorno may have a little bit more name recognition. Sometimes people go off of that than have actually even tried it or anything to that nature. But I find it interesting that you're blaming the DiGiorno for Dylan's being out sick yesterday.
I think
we have to do a little investigative journalism here. I think we have to do a little bit of digging into digging on DiGiorno, I think is good. We should hashtag that. And digging into what, although we're probably going to get their corporate sponsors after us or the corporate lawyers. And, you know, we don't need all those headaches. But, folks, this is what it comes down to here. Whether or not it was responsible for his illness yesterday. If it was.
It was.
I don't know.
You heard it from me.
Do we hold a repeat? Do we hold a runoff election based on this? Based on the terrible product that he ingested? Or are we going to have a repeat here?
Well, I believe, and again, I don't think it's... I don't think it would be worth doing another vote just because I feel like the same thing will happen. I think there'll be votes will be paid for. Let's just put it that way. So I'm not saying, I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying, Mike?
I know what you're saying.
All right,
you're not
good.
Saying it.
I'm not saying, saying it, but I'm saying it.
Yeah,
that's right.
But you're saying
See, there we go.
I know what you're saying.
You think everybody else knows my language here.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right, yes. Yes. You think everybody else knows what we're saying?
No, I don't even know what
I'm
saying.
Drop us a line. Let us know what you're thinking.
Yes.
So if you, let us know if you're thinking that we know what we're saying.
There you go. And actually, no, that was actually good, pretty good, because that reminds me that I do have to tell you guys all the... information on how to reach us, 626-310-8882. Give us a text, give us a call, send us a tweet at FPC Radio Live. And of course, if you're in the Sportscaster room, you can chat in the room. I'm sure Kyle and Bill could use the friends. They're pretty lonely and they're talking. So but no, please, we love hearing from you. If you happen to be listening, if you want to chime in, I mean I'm open to the pizza debate. If you want to keep going, give me your opinion. Tell me where I'm right and where Dylan is wrong. Okay. And again, if you can confirm the sickness was caused by DiGiorno's, I would like to hear from you too. So give us a text, give us a call, do whatever you want. It's going to be fun. So, couple things from the NFL. Because again, I do want to talk hockey, and we're gonna bring in our resident Canadian. Actually, we have a few of them, but he's going to come in and talk some hockey with us here in the second half of the show. Kyle, he's already in the chat room, chomping at the bit to do so. But before we do that, there was some NFL news, some rumored news, some potential news. First off, Everson Griffin signs with the Cowboys. Nice signing, former Vikings defensive end. Signs a one-year deal with the Dallas Cowboys, America's team. And the other rumored deal is George Kittle is supposedly, and again, I mean, there's a lot of back and forth whether or not how legitimate this is, but he is supposedly on the verge of signing a huge extension that would, no surprise, make him the highest paid tight end in the league. So, what do you think? I mean, I like the Everson Griffin deal for the Cowboys, obviously a good defensive player. And on the flip side, George Kittle, obviously very deserving. I think we both agree that he's the best tight end in the league. Sorry, Travis Kelce, but I just think George Kittle is better. So not surprised that he's going to get this contract. And it seems there's a lot of big money contracts being thrown about this offseason.
Yeah, there are. And to tell you the truth, I'm a little surprised at that, knowing especially what we know about the uncertainty with the cap next year and how some of the collective bargaining agreement is going to factor in. But look, the league is under a new agreement, and I think a lot of teams are looking at this and saying, okay, well, now we can sign these guys to long-term deals, especially right now, lock them up. We know that any players that have opted out, their contracts will toll to next year. There's probably going to be a lot of free agents, maybe more free agents available because of those contracts tolling. We may see guys cut loose that normally we wouldn't have seen cut loose in previous years. The Griffin deal for the Cowboys gives them another option on that pass rush. Solid defensive end. I think he'll be a good addition to that team. The Kittle deal right now is something that does not surprise me when it comes to San Francisco. They know what they have when they have it, and George Kittle is a generational type talent at the tight end position. I do see a lot of a young Rob Gronkowski in George, not so much in the way that he receives, because I think in terms of a receiving tight end, you probably even have to give the nod to Travis Kelce when it comes to that. He's just a phenomenal receiver.
Oh, it's because he's a receiver.
But when it comes to the total package, exactly. When it comes to the total package of who is the best tight end, the best complete tight end in the game, it's George Kittle, and I don't even think it's close, because he's that much better of a blocker. He's that much more aware of his field presence. And in my opinion, he's that much more of a tough football player. He'll take a tough hit. He'll go over the middle. These are things you don't see Kelce do. And in my opinion, this is what San Francisco sees. He's definitely a favorite of Kyle Shanahan. He's got the trust of John Lynch and that brain trust. I think you're going to see a big time connection between he and Jimmy Garoppolo this year. Look, I'm good from, you know, and I have a weekly spot on his show, Snowman. And we talk about the San Francisco 49ers quite often, and we do bring up that subject on a good clip. And look, the bottom line is both Brian and I expect big things out of Jimmy this year. I know there's a lot of hate going around and thrown around at him throughout the national media, thinking that he's some sort of passenger on a very good San Francisco team and that he's a subpar quarterback. I've even seen him ranked in a third tier of the four tiers of quarterbacks, which I think is absolutely ridiculous. Look, you have to remember, Garoppolo is coming off of a very debilitating injury. An ACL tear is something that takes 2 years for a quarterback to really come back and be able to be the quarterback that they're capable of being. Even Tom Brady had difficulties coming back. He was slowed a little bit coming back from his ACL. I mean, he still had a very good, you know, year coming back. Mm-hmm. No one's doubting that. But it does take a while. I don't care who you are, to get your legs back under you. Jimmy now is going to enter his second year coming back from that injury. I expect him to be durable, and if he is, I expect him to have a big-time connection with a guy like George Kittle. So, good move for the San Francisco 49ers, locking him up. You have one of the best offensive weapons in the game for a number of years now, and he's within your control. Yeah, maybe they're overpaying a little bit. We haven't even seen or heard the details of the contract yet, but right now you have to think that it's at least in the wheelhouse of being something that's going to be a competitive deal and something that is going to keep him in San Francisco long term. So I like these two deals.
Yeah. So like you said, there was no details as to, you know, what the potential deal was. And again, there's some, you know, disagreement as to whether or not this will happen or when it's going to happen, this, that, and the other. But the two names that, you know, from Pro Football Talk or whatever originally came up with the information, but Hunter Henry's on the franchise tag and he has an average of $10.6 million, and Austin Hooper signed a 4-year $42 million contract in the offseason. I have a feeling it's I don't want to say gonna blow those contracts out of the way, but you know, I feel like it should be north of you know, that 10-year, you know, obviously more than that $10.6 million $10.6 million deal. So we'll see. And again, like I said, I do believe that Kittle is the best tight end in the league. And yes, Kyle, yes, in the real NFL, and that's what we're talking. We're not talking about fantasy here. Okay. We're talking about reality. No, I'm kidding, but he's right. I mean, George Kittle, obviously is fantastic in the real sport of football because of what he does. Travis Kelce receiving wise, and to kind of put Rob Gronkowski into perspective, this is how much and how dominant he was just overall. He would be number one in real football and number one in fantasy football as well. You know, again, going back to his prime or his peak there, which again puts him in perspective relative to these two guys who, again, I think are probably the benchmark now, unless, you know, Rob Gronkowski has this, you know, I don't know, somehow goes back in time and becomes 26-year-old Rob Gronkowski, you know what I'm saying? And has this phenomenal season, which I don't think is going to happen. I think he's going to, good. I think he's going to have a real solid season. I think he's going to start fresh, and I think he's going to start strong because of, you know, all the circumstances, he being one of the few that has that really, not only a strong connection with Tom Brady, but this ridiculous link in their head. So Tom's going to have to rely on him early on, especially without training camp, without preseason games, before he gets in a rhythm with the rest of his new Bucs teammates. So I expect Rob Gronkowski to have a strong start to the season. Probably not going to keep it up, but I think he's going to have a pretty solid year. Certainly not the 2011, you know, nearly the 1700 yards and all that stuff. So, but yeah, Kyle's right. If you want to go to comparisons, Gronk is Kittle and Jimmy Graham is Kelce. It's the same thing. You know, everyone wanted to talk about Jimmy Graham, but it's like, you know, he's glorified receiver. And that's not, you know, that's not a knock. It's just, it's who you are. Don't, you know, try to pretend you're someone you're not. And what Jimmy Graham was not was the best tight end in the league, because Rob Gronkowski was always better. And I do believe that Kittle is the better overall tight end, whereas Kelce would probably be your go-to guy for fantasy. But again, don't take my fantasy football advice. Don't take my fantasy sports advice at all, because, well, you know, I don't win anything, Mike. So it's pointless.
I could call you a tremendous slouch, and I guess in a way I already did, but I'm not going to go into the actual movie quote. It's implied. It's always implied. But no, look, bottom line, I think that's a very apt comparison. I really and truly do. When you look at what these two tight ends now are to what Graham and Gronkowski were in their heyday, I do believe that that's a pretty apt comparison. You know, Kittle is the more complete package, and Kelce is the guy that you're going to go to for fantasy points. But look, bottom line, you know, Rob Gronkowski is still very much in the discussion, I think, when it comes to top tight ends in the league. I know a lot of people are going to roll your eyes, but believe me when I tell you, especially Ian and I, we've seen this guy in New England. We've seen what he can do, even at a reduced percentage of his effectiveness. And he's still capable of doing big things. I completely agree. I do think that he will be utilized by Tom Brady this year, maybe a little bit more than people think he will be, simply because of the familiarity. And I think Rob has a chip on his shoulder. I think there's still some things that he needs to prove. I think a lot of people, he's coming back. He's not going to be the same productive type of tight end that he has been in the past. He's going to be a shell of himself. We've heard all this for Rob Gronkowski, and I do not think he'd be stepping back on a football field if he felt that he was only going to come back to be a mere shell of himself. It really bothered him the last couple of years that he was in New England that was what people had perceived him to be. He has the ability to do it. I think he's healthy. I think he's in good shape. And if that's the case, and you're going to see even 85% of what Rob Gronkowski used to be, this could be an interesting year in Tampa Bay. So keep a sharp eye on that, folks. It's not just Tom Brady playing with a chip on his shoulder. I think Rob's got one as well. And I think he's going to be eager to show people that he can still be a really formidable tight end in this league and near the top echelon when it comes to that position.
Yeah, and again, I think, you know, everyone right now has to assume and give credit where credit's due and give Kittle and Kelce the nod.
Although, they still get the nod, but I think Rob is going to prove that he can still hang with those guys a little bit, and he can still be in the discussion.
Well,
I'm not ready to take Rob Gronkowski out of that realm just yet. Maybe not one or two, but I'm still willing to toss him around near the top five. I still think he's that good.
Well, and here's the thing, too, and I don't know when this happened, but I think people, they just think he's Jason Witten coming out of retirement for some reason. And by that, I mean, they are talking like he's 37, 38 years old coming out of retirement. And look, if there's one guy who could benefit from a year off to heal himself and get right, it's probably a very young 31-year-old Rob Gronkowski, who we know is obviously kept himself in shape and has been working out, all that stuff. So again, I don't, you know, maybe I'll be wrong. I'm wrong a lot. So, you know, this could be an instance of that. But maybe he does go out and have this phenomenal season. And here's the thing. He could score a lot of touchdowns with or without the yards or the accumulation of catches. Because, again, especially early on, you know, he's going to be a pretty formidable target in that red zone, especially when you have the other players around him. So he could be pretty fantasy relevant. Maybe we'll ask Kyle. I know we're going to bring him on to talk hockey, but maybe we'll sneak that question in too. But Rob could be very fantasy relevant and really emerge as one of those top tier tight ends. I mean, regardless, you know, depending on how you rank them in fantasy and all that stuff. But yeah, I'm going to be eager to see, but it's going to be fun to watch that. I love the tight end position. I really do, because I feel like when you're a guy that can obviously do everything, you can make those plays up the middle of the field. I love seeing those big guys just lumber down the field and just gain yards. And I don't know, it just, to me, I like how the position has evolved over the last decade or so and has become more relevant and more in focus across the league. Now, again, not every team's going to have a Rob Gronkowski or George Kittle or, you know, to some extent, Travis Kelce, again, for, especially certainly from a receiving aspect. But, you know, we'll see. It's going to be fun. Like I said, I have high hopes for Rob. Obviously, I have high hopes for George Kittle, especially, you know, after he's going to sign a nice contract. He's going to be well paid, and I'm with you. I think he's going to, you know, do well again with another year under with Jimmy Garoppolo, who is, you know, another year healthy. So we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. But what's on your mind, Mike? We got a couple minutes before we're going to take a break and then bring Kyle in. What's been getting at you, my friend? Because I want to hear what's on your mind.
Not so much something that's getting at me, but if you'll allow me the indulgence to wish very good luck today for something that I heard from NFL Draft Diamonds, who heard that former Bryant University wide receiver here in Rhode Island, Matt Seawall, a gentleman that I've had the opportunity to interview a couple of times. I covered his pro day in 2018, which was held at Bryant. Matt is a young wide receiver that has had tryouts with the Houston Texans. He's had tryouts with the New York Jets, a couple of NFL teams. And he has a tryout with the Arizona Cardinals today, according to NFL Draft Diamonds. So I would like to wish Matt the very best. I can tell you that not only do I know the man personally, I've had the privilege of interviewing him, but I've seen him on the field, personifies hard work, personifies determination. Matt, wishing you all the best. You've got this, my friend. And hopefully the Arizona Cardinals will see what we all see in you here in New England. And that's an undying perseverance and an ability to do what he can do on the field, very much in the mold of a Wes Welker, Julian Edelman, a really good slot threat that I believe could really hook on and do well in an NFL uniform. So good luck to you, Matt. Hope everything works out. And we're all behind you up here in the Ocean State. And of course, we're behind you, you know, down here, all up and down the Eastern Seaboard, right to the West Coast of Florida, where my good friend is joining me on the other end of the microphone here. But no, we wish you nothing but the best. He's been great to full press coverage. It's been an honor for us to get to know, the chance to get to know him pretty well. And we're all behind you, my friend. So go get it. You got this, kid.
Yeah, no, I'm certainly rooting for him, and we will hopefully get to celebrate maybe him getting an opportunity. So do you know what, real quick, and again, before we go to break, I want to ask you something. Do you know what came out 38 years ago today? Do you have an idea? Did you see it on Twitter?
No, I haven't. I haven't seen it.
No, well, I saw it. Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Great movie. I love that movie.
Oh, that's 38 years old.
Yeah, right? Yeah, wow. Yeah. I mean, it's
damn,
it's incredible.
That movie is only 2 years younger than me.
Yeah. I wasn't going to say it, but you said it for me, so thank you.
Oh, I'll put it out there. I mean, it's no secret. You know, it's, wow. Well, yeah, that movie's older than I thought it was.
Yeah,
for some reason I always thought mid to late 80s. I didn't realize that it was released in 1982. Wow.
Yeah, it does really seem. Yeah, I don't think I realized that either. But again, this is like I think I mentioned this like last week or something that we're still in this weird adjustment where we're into a new decade, so now all of a sudden the 80s, which is very relevant to the two of us, is now all of a sudden 40 years away. You know what I mean? All the things that happened in the 80s are now going to be 40 years, or you know what I'm saying, like early 80s. So it's like there's this adjustment period where you have to accept that things that were created in the 80s, whether it was movies or people like us, They will be turning 40 like my good friend here at some point. I got a few years to go, so I'm not.
Yeah,
I'm
you got a little bit of time. You're still riding the 30s wave, and enjoy it while you can, my friend. But
I will.
In all actuality, it's not too bad. It just that you know, instead of you know getting up in the morning and going about your business, it now takes you about 10 to 15 minutes just to straighten up. But other than that, it's pretty good. It really isn't. It's not all that bad, folks.
It's not too bad. You know what? See. Just like Uggs, Tom Brady is making 40-plus fashionable, and I'm okay with that. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're gonna really dive into hockey because, you know, hockey's great, and it's been great, and we're going to talk to Kyle about that and have some fun. So stay tuned. If you're watching on Sportscaster, throw in some questions, throw in some comments, go get something to drink. If you're not, well, just hang tight and stare at the wall for a while. We'll be right back. Welcome back. We're back. Unlike yesterday, I think we bailed on you. That wasn't intentional. Like you said, sometimes we have technology issues, and we're just gonna have to live and bear through it. So, as you can see, if you're watching the show, you can see there is an actual moving image other than my face on the screen. There's Kyle Senra. Mike is still, well, we still haven't proven if he's real or not, but you're gonna have to trust me. And when I say he is an actual human being, if not, I've been fooled, bamboozled, to say the least, because I've come to believe that he is actually real. But nonetheless, Kyle, how are we doing today? How's life after another long day of hockey?
Yeah, good. Well rested, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And, I used to play Dungeons & Dragons a little bit, and the term we would always use with, there's someone not in the game talking, a disembodied voice. So we can call Mike the disembodied voice if you really need to.
Yeah, he's a disembodied something or other, but
I've also revealed my nerdom talking about Dungeons & Dragons.
Well,
I love how these guys are talking about me, like I'm not even here. This is
great. Well, you're kind of not. I mean, you're kind of not. You are kind of just a fly on the wall, because sometimes I forget you are here, especially when Kyle comes on and we start talking, then I'm like, oh yeah, that's right, mic check.
I am the voice from above.
Yes.
Why don't you just tell me the name of the movie you want to watch?
I was going to say, Mike, so you're the one who's been telling me to do all those things that I'm getting. Okay, never mind. I'm just going to start ignoring that voice.
Quick
in my
change
head.
Of subject.
I'm even afraid to continue down that path. So go ahead, folks. Let's talk some hockey.
No, we are going to bring him, we're going to talk some hockey, because the first thing I want to talk about, and I told you, I'm going to give you the floor to rant about something, because I'm going to piggyback off your rant, I feel like. I just want to point out, anyone out there that may be a Boston Bruins fan listening to the show, and there's probably a few of you, because, I am a Bruins fan, and I happen to reach a lot of Bruins fans. Kyle.
Oh, yeah.
Picked the Hurricanes to win 4-0. Now,
yeah, you sweep that idea going already.
Yeah, well, that's completely out the window. Now, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I didn't have some concerns going into the first round, considering how the Bruins had been playing. And I hate the flip the switch term, but it seems to have occurred in I'm not going to say fully, because the Bruins certainly were not perfect yesterday, but they looked as close to night and day as I could have possibly imagined from what they played in the round robin games. Most notably, the second line, David Krejci, Andre Kasha, and Jake DeBrusque all looked fantastic. I mean, I still can't fathom how Jake DeBrusque missed that wide open net. But good thing is the Bruins ended up winning, so you're not going to dwell on that too much. You just hope that eventually he starts putting the puck into wide open nets.
To be honest, I mean, just to piggyback quickly on that, missing the open nets, I mean, the nerves of, especially, yesterday was game one for a lot of these series, of the 7-round series, especially for a team like Boston or Philly. Someone in the Flyers game missed a wide open net as well. Price was scrambling and came back to someone
it
in the
was
slot.
Not...
And Suzuki tried to duck, but there was a lot of net to shoot at. And
I'm glad you brought that up, because I wanted to talk about this. That was in a couple ways an incredible save by Carey Price, because he got the stick on the puck. So not only did he stop that puck from going into the net, but he probably saved Suzuki from taking a puck to the side of the head.
I was thinking that too. That looked pretty dangerous the way Suzuki was trying to block that puck.
Well, because at first glance, it looks like it was Lawton missed the wide open net. Because again, I mean, it looked like it, but on slow-mo, and thank God we have these great camera angles and ability to zoom in, you can see Carey Price. And I've obviously, it wasn't in game one of a Stanley Cup finals or a Stanley Cup playoff series, but I've done something similar to this as a goalie. Sometimes you just have to, whatever it takes to stop a puck, and Carey Price, I mean, it was incredible. He barely got the stick on it, but you can see a very clear, direct redirection that put the puck over the net. And again, like I said, at the very least, and I don't say that, I mean, at the very most, really, it saved Suzuki from taking, I mean, Lawton wound up and fired a shot from the hash marks, essentially, right at the top of the crease, and Suzuki turned and again, would have probably taken the puck off the back of the head. So I'm glad you brought that up, because I, again, I've said it before, if there was one jersey of a Canadiens player that I, the only one I would ever consider getting, ever, like, without, like, touching it and immediately throwing up, would be Carey Price.
Ruin the jersey though if you throw up, because
no. Well, I mean, if it was anyone but Carey Price, I would throw up on the jersey, and then I would, you know, wipe up the mess with the other clean part of the jersey, because, well, it's the Canadiens. I mean, their logo looks like a toilet seat. Let's be real.
Okay.
I'm gonna
not continue on that subject, so my wife isn't mad at me.
I'm gonna find.
The winged wheel looks amazing. I gotta say.
I agree. I love the Red Wings logo. I'm with you on that one.
I'm not a big fan of the team right now, but the logo.
Hey, whatever. You know, it happens.
Okay, some good forwards, but that defense core is pretty painful. But I guess the thing with, you know, you mentioning Boston night and day, they played a great game. It wasn't perfect, but they played to what we expected them to play. Mm-hmm. And it still took double overtime.
Yeah.
I think this Boston-Carolina series, we're in for a show. It's clearly not going to be a sweep. I underestimated Boston, but I have a feeling, maybe hot take, early prediction, whoever wins this series is going to the East final. Because I don't think any team in the East can beat either of these two if they're playing at the top of their game. I mean, this was the East final last year. They were the two best teams in the Eastern Conference. It just happens to be a first-round series, which is going to give either – whoever comes out of that is going to have so much confidence, and they're going to see the rest of the league as – we're not threatened by anybody. You know, so if Carolina beats Boston, who's been the best team all year, they're thinking that was the best team all year, right? And if you're Boston, well, we've been the best team all year. Who are we afraid of? So I'm going to have my eye on this series probably a lot more closely now. I was, you know, yesterday wasn't sure how Boston would play, but if this is what we're going to expect, this is going to be an amazing series.
No, I agree, and I think it's going to get really nasty and really physical. Because both, I mean, Carolina's obviously... they're the underdog. They're obviously not, it's no knock on them. Again, like you said, I mean, the Bruins have been the best team for essentially the entire season. I mean, they were 8 points clear of their next opponent, defending Eastern Conference champions, all that stuff. The one caveat being, and I think this is where Boston can really separate, is if Tuukka plays better. And I'm not saying he played bad. I just don't think he's at his absolute best right now. And again, I'm someone who will defend to the death Tuukka Rask, because there are some dopes out there, and that's the nicest way I could put it. There was a lot of other words flowing through my head, but I completely, you know, I checked those out. Anyways, there's a lot of dopes out there that don't think he can get it, quote unquote, get it done, despite, again, leading the team twice to the finals and an incredible run at that. I mean, we know how good he was last year. I mean, we've talked about it before. There was an outside chance that he could have won the Conn Smythe even if the Bruins lost, but the circumstances in Game 7 did not, you know... I'm not saying it was a good chance, but if you remember going into Game 7, really no one had separated themselves at that point. Jordan Binnington was okay. Yeah. I mean, he had his moments, but he also had his very bad moments, and Tuukka was the better goaltender for the bulk of that series, although he was not the better one in Game 7.
He probably would have got it if Boston won, but to win it, like, I mean, it's happened twice that the losing team has the Conn Smythe, and it's, again, setting playoff record for goals with Reggie Leach, and then Jean-Sébastien Jaguar basically stealing three rounds.
Well, like, and
I don't think, as great as Rask played, I don't think he stole any round, because I thought Boston were the best team in all of their rounds, that, and, you know, it wasn't surprising that they beat anybody.
No,
I mean,
I
predicted them to win that final, too, so I definitely thought they were going to. So.
Yeah, but also you have to remember, no one in that series really stood out. So that's why I think it upped his odds a little. I mean, again, I thought it was a slim chance that it happened, but the potential was there. The point being, if you think Tuukka Rask can't get it done, well, again, you're a dope. So get with the program.
He's clearly proven it.
Yeah, I mean, and
technically,
and
he has a Stanley Cup ring. It was as a backup.
True.
He's got a ring, so
true.
Everyone can kind of stop talking about that.
Yeah,
didn't win it as a starter, but, you know, that's still valuable.
I mean,
experience.
There
and he's gotten to two finals, and again, he's lost to who were the best team at the time, the Blackhawks, and in the middle of their dominant stretch, and then the Blues, who just bullied everyone last year, and like, as you know, great teams just crumbled before them. You know, look at the Jets, their elimination game. The Stars had nothing in their elimination game. The only reason that game was even close was Ben Bishop, and then I guess San Jose they didn't really stand a chance. They just got completely decimated. So it's
San Jose,
you know,
sucks.
He's losing to great teams. It's not like either of those teams were slouches. These are great hockey teams that
all people think about is 2010 and the Philadelphia Flyers. That's all, and that's that's the curse with Tuukka Rask, is like that's what people think about. And then what I was ever the 20 something seconds in Chicago. You know, so it sounds like a 30 for 30 for ESPN. But anyways. The point is, at this point right now, through the first game, through the first few exhibition games, he was dealing with a little bit of a sickness or whatnot early on in training camp. He just has not been his peak self. I thought the Joel Edmondson goal, the first goal of the game, was that's a puck he has to stop. I believe that was the one that went right through his legs. There's been a couple where, you know, I think he just needs to get sharper. And again, I'm not criticizing his play. He was pretty good yesterday. But I think
back off that, Ian, just to kind of defend Rask. I mean, I thought Holtby had a play yesterday in the Islanders game where he really need, like, it was Eberle. It was a clear, it was a shot from outside the hash marks, and just a slow wrist shot that kind of, it caught Holtby off guard, but you could tell he should have that, right?
Well, I think
Rask is the only good goalie who is struggling to get into that
peak. No, not at all. And that's my point. That's where I think right now Carolina kind of missed an opportunity to win this game and kind of steal game one, because I do think, and I have seen, Tuukka has been getting better each game. And again, I have no doubt in my mind that Tuukka can lead the Bruins to be the best goalie in the playoffs. There's no doubt in my mind that he can do that. But he's building up to it. The point is like, if he finds his game starting today, starting tomorrow, I don't think it's going to be that close. I think it might be, you know, the Bruins kind of peeling away. However, if he kind of equals, and if he's pretty good, and the Bruins, you know, again, that's the thing. The Bruins tend to make mistakes at times. And when Tuukka's on his game, you forget about him. And that's why he was so important last year to the playoff run. Because, again, the top line went missing in the final. You know, Tuukka was fantastic for literally 90% of that playoff run. His game seven, again, you can argue whatever, but it wasn't a great first period. Let's put it that way. Anyways, I think if he finds his game, and if it happens tomorrow or today or Saturday, I don't think Carolina, I don't know. I think they're a good team. I have more confidence that the Bruins will do what they should do. And it'll be maybe a six game, possibly five. I mean, again, it depends, because I put a lot of stock into what I saw yesterday from the Bruins, because I wasn't concerned, but you still hadn't seen anything since March. And that obviously has to do with the huge layoff, but whatever. So, Mike Tarek, you're there. You're alive. You're with us. Yeah, there we go. Okay, just making sure.
I am here, folks. No, taking it all in, and I agree. I agree with what you guys are saying, especially when it comes to Tuukka. You know, I mean, let's face it. You know, Bruins fandom is in my blood, and you know, anytime someone brings up the fact that he's not able to handle you know, the load or whatever, it's just, yeah, it's rubbish. But
I blame Felger and Mass.
Stuff, right?
I blame Felger and Mass.
Well, you know, you pretty much blame them for everything that goes on up here. I mean, you know, yeah. Their disdain for Sony Michel to me is laughable. Their disdain for the world that they want to, but.
Sports is laughable. I mean, they went on a rant, and this is going to kind of lead us into,
you know,
bottom line,
I think their disdain for logic is laughable.
Yeah, that's
true. I think that's
true.
Pretty much it. All they want to do is just stir the pot. And well, you know what? Fine. It's working. They're getting ratings. Congratulations to them. Enjoy the ratings. But I really and truly
they're
don't.
Competition.
I'm stop. I'm
yeah, yeah.
Stop
we'll stop.
Say something I regret.
No, because I think I'm going to transition into exactly what he wants because they went on a rant and, like I said, to transition from Felger and Mets, they went on a rant complaining about overtime hockey, and this has popped up over social media the last couple days, and it's gotten me to the point where I'm getting so frustrated that so many people are like somehow advocating for this, especially someone like Mike Milbury, who I know Kyle has some thoughts on. So first off, I'm going to assume here that you and I both agree, Kyle, that his suggestion was idiotic at best, because this idea that we're going to turn playoff hockey into a gimmick, in my opinion, I don't want to
know the ratings. As that game went on and people were kind of on the social media, because I was just glued on the game, so I have no idea how much actual social media presence this game got, but I'm assuming during the game it got more attention. The longer it went on, the more viewers came on, right?
Yeah.
Why, like, if that's the case and you see a spike in ratings, why is your main commentator saying this is bad for the game and we should do this and alienate everyone that's just kind of got on? So strategically, for that reason, that's probably not very good. But okay, so, you know, Mike Milbury as the influential leader of change in the NFL, do we really want to go down that road? No. I mean, and to be honest, I applaud him as a commentator because it's probably the area of hockey he's had the most success. I mean, he was a goon, and I'm agitator. You know, there's certain enforcers, there's certain guys I respect. I obviously respect the Winged Wheel and Bob Probert. Mike Milbury, he took it too far. I mean, he literally went in the stands and hit a fan with a shoe. Like, this guy, you know, goon, full goon as a hockey player. So not a very good. I'm probably a better hockey player, probably facetiously, but whatever.
Was that wrong?
Should I not have done that?
You see, I kind of plead insanity on Mike Milbury's behalf, because maybe if somebody had told him that sort of thing was frowned upon, maybe he wouldn't have done it.
And sorry, thank you, Mike, with the mic drop.
I did not mean to steal your thunder on there, but that was
a good cutoff. It actually makes me feel a little happier because I'm going to get enraged too much. But okay, as a GM, arguably the worst GM we've ever seen. I just want to quickly go through what he had with the Islanders, what that team could have been. So a year after you draft Roberto Luongo, you go and, oh, this one dude stole a World Junior. I'm going to sell the entire farm to get him. I'm going to draft Rick DiPietro first overall. Give up the chance to draft either Danny Heatley or Marian Gabrick, both of which were far better players and could have, you know, with a Luongo and net, you could have built around. And then he doubles down and says, I'm going to go and sell the farm for Alexei Yashin. I'm going to give up Zdeno Chara. I'm going to give up a first-round pick that turned out to be Jason Spezza to get Alexei Yashin signed to a massive extension, and he's gone 2 years later. DiPietro gets the 15-year contract. He's gone. You know, both those players spent about 90% of their collective contracts not on that team. And so you get DiPietro and Yashin when you could have had Luongo, Heatley, Spezza, Chara, like that is a core of a team. And I look at how those players have gone. I mean, Chara, he never left as a free agent. He was traded to Ottawa. Yeah. They traded him to Boston, right? He's stayed
free,
with Boston.
No, free agent.
Oh, that's right.
He signed it. Yeah.
Melnick didn't want to pay him.
They chose. I should know the name. Thank you. They chose Wade Redden over Zdeno Chara. Coincidentally,
Wade Redden is a good defender.
No, he was.
Maybe overpaid. Certainly, like, I remember he signed a contract with the Rangers that was ridiculous. But in his time with Ottawa, was a pretty good defenseman. But
they just made Zdeno Chara.
If the Islanders had him, he probably would have played his whole career there. Spezza played almost his whole career with Ottawa until they let him go. Like, these are, and I mean, Luongo returned to Florida. Like, these are guys that were loyal to their franchises. Mm-hmm. You probably could have kept that core for a long time, and that could have been a contending team. Instead, I don't think this Islanders team really recovered. They kind of had they got Tavares and, you know, Kyle Rakpo. They had kind of something going, but those guys are all gone too. And that team is just kind of melded in waves. Used to be one of the best teams in the league, and he totally torpedoed that franchise. So, sorry if I don't trust Mike Milbury's judgment when it comes to hockey, because the dude's a hockey moron. And again, as a commentator in game, like, honestly, you know, listening to his commentary during the game, it wasn't bad other than his rants about, I mean, there were a couple things he said that I was like, okay, really? I don't believe you there. That sounds stupid. But for the most part, it was fine. But man, as much as Kubalik getting the record and everything Vasilevsky did, the three stars that game are the two goalies and Gord Miller. Because man, 6 hours of play by just 6 hours of play by play alone is difficult, and to maintain the energy throughout. I mean, I was tired just watching the game. I couldn't imagine in Gord Miller's position. But you got to do that with Mike Milbury next to you. Jeez, man,
that's
Gord Miller's a legend.
I agree. I see, and I'm glad you brought up all those missteps by Mike Milbury. Not that I had forgotten about him, but it just brought me back in time to a time where I found that very comical when it happened, especially that the 15-year deal to DiPietro. I mean, it was unheard of at the time. I mean, it's kind of unheard of now, but even then. But
and one other thing, sorry,
go ahead.
He also traded away Todd Bertuzzi during that time to Vancouver. I think they drafted Bertuzzi, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh man,
might have. That's one more player, right? That that team could have been amazing. That's all.
You know, we make a lot of Peter Chiarelli jokes, but like. I mean, Peter Chiarelli traded the two top picks of the 2010 draft, and it's like you can't even get as bad as that Mike Milbury run. But hey, to the Islanders' credit, though, they got something going on here with Barry Trotz and kind of the makeup with the team here with some of the young guys on it. But no, to your point though, that five overtime game, I was stuck glued into my seat the whole time. I enjoyed it. People out there suggesting, now again, I would go kicking and screaming, but if I had to accept 4-on-4 play in playoff overtime, things could be worse. I don't want it. I happen to think that leaving it exactly the way it is right now is the best. I think people are.
I could see something where at a certain overtime period you go to that. Okay, you do.
I can.
You do, if you do more than a double what a normal game is, I think maybe you know what. At that point, I would say just go to 3-on-3 because I don't know that 4-on-4 you're necessarily if you're gonna make it. If your purpose is to try and get a goal as soon as possible, I don't know that 4-on-4 does it well enough. I think if you're gonna go that far.
But see, that's
three overtime periods of 5-on-5, and then the continuous 3-on-3 from there. I think that's how I would go about it.
But that's the thing. See, that's not my goal. My goal is not to get the goal as quickly as possible. My goal is to watch the game of hockey, and like I can live with 3-on-3 in the regular season because I do understand just the situation and the dynamic of not doing continue. I get that. I understand. I've said many times before, I have other solutions I'd rather them do, but I'm not going to get into that. When it comes to playoff hockey, I want to see hockey. I don't want to see a gimmick. I don't want to see rules changed. I don't want to see tweaks to the thing. So, hey, I'm watching. We're going into the fourth overtime, but, we're going to have three players. They can only be forwards, and you can only change. I saw someone suggest, like,
you have to use a 9-iron.
Yeah, you have to. Yeah, exactly. And you have to shoot on your offhand. Or no, that would be actually counter.
Someone's ambidextrous.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm getting a little nuts here, but
I wouldn't change it. But if I had to, that's how I would do it. I would go to 3-on-3 at a certain point. That's
See,
I agree with you. 5-on-5 forever.
That's where
five
we disagree.
Five overtimes rarely happen. The last one was 20 years ago. Like, we shouldn't overreact just because it happened once in a blue moon.
Exactly. And it's like I said yesterday, all the people asking the players, like, oh, have you ever been in a game like this? No! Of course not! Because this never happens. And, like, we watched a double overtime game. The Bruins obviously went to double overtime. If you're watching the game, you're watching the game. You love it. Very rarely do long overtime games lack entertainment because there's a few things that have to go on. One, you could get the situation where the players are so exhausted that they just can't play and it just becomes sloppy and you just got to hope for a good bounce and that's it. That happens. I understand that. I get it. The other situation, you have two goalies that are playing at the absolute top of their game back and forth. So like despite the lack of goals, the ups and downs and the thrill of watching these games is not lacking. So
Tampa Bay in that game, I think if the stat came up late and then I kept counting for the last couple minutes, I think they had 97 missed shot attempts. So 97 attempts that didn't even hit the net, let alone their actual, I think it was 80. What was it?
88. Because 88 Korpisalo made 85 saves. So 88 shots on net they had.
which is incredible that they almost, like, again, 97 missed shots, right? Yeah. Like they were just hammering him completely. And, you know, Columbus did everything they could, blocking shots. Mm-hmm. Seth Jones set the record for minutes played, and he said after the game, "I'm fine. I could keep playing.
Yeah,
for two more overtime." Well, what a guy!
And that's the thing. I feel honestly, I feel like this outcry, and this drives me nuts because I saw it almost like verbatim in a tweet, like, "Oh, you know, these late nights, blah blah blah." No, this isn't to cater to the media. I'm sorry, and I feel like this is where it's. Originating this want or need for them to change these overtime rules because it's inconvenient for the media. Well, yeah, exactly. Boo-hoo. I'm sorry. Deal with it. Again, I'm just so against changing anything about the playoffs, like ever. Like I don't want to see anything change. I think they are perfect the way they are in terms of how the game on the ice is played. Now, I'd rather reseed than bracket style, but you know that's a discussion for another day. 16 teams, you know, again, that's another discussion, you know, I can go back and forth on, but when it comes to the actual play, how the game between puck drop and when the game ends is played is absolutely perfect in my opinion, and it should not change one bit. I don't even want 4-on-4. I don't want 3-on-3. I don't want a God forbid if it's a shootout. I don't know what I'd do. I would lose it. I would be in a mental institution for the rest of my life, muttering about shootouts and just how much it changed and you know how Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time. So, folks, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to cut it off because we are right up against it. We got Snowman in the Morning coming up here at 10 a.m. give us a follow on Twitter at FPC Radio Live, at Full Press Radio. I am at IGLEN31. He is at Senra Says. It's so much easier to put that one out there. And, of course, the man behind the curtain there, the silent one, Mr. Mike DeBate. He is at MDABATEFPC. Folks, have a great Thursday. We'll be back tomorrow. Download the app at Full Press coverage on Apple and Google Play stores. Have a great day, folks, and enjoy hockey and all the sports.